It is my joy to welcome you this morning to worship. Worship online here at West End United Methodist Church. We are so glad to be together through the power and mystery of the Holy Spirit. We've made the decision in the interest of public health and at the urging of our bishop and other leaders to worship exclusively online for the next 2 weeks at least. We hope that you'll be paying attention to decisions as they come down the road in case we have to continue to worship in this way. But there may be some of you joining us for the very first time. Perhaps you're part of a congregation that does not yet have live stream capability. Or maybe you're not part of a church family right now, but you feel the need to worship and to be with others in this moment in our world's history. And so we are very honored to be worshiping together with you this morning. For those of you who may not know, my name is Carol Cavan-Dillon. I'm the senior pastor here at West End. I'm joined here by Reverend Brandon Baxter, who's our pastor of spiritual formation, and Reverend Maggie Jarrell, who's our pastor with children and their families. Our wonderful sanctuary choir is here to lift our hearts in music this morning, and our fabulous audiovisual folks who are excellent at live streaming and will help us all to stay connected throughout the service. If you are joining us for the first time, we are in the middle of a sermon series. We have, since the very first week of February, been going through the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. We find ourselves at the end of chapter 6 this morning, and as it just happens, Reverend Baxter is going to be preaching on the text that begins, "Do not worry about your life." And so I'm anxious to hear the word that Brandon will bring to us today. Just a few words to help us along as we worship through live stream this morning. There are a few differences in the bulletin. You'll find a link to the bulletin so you can follow along in worship, but different individuals would be taking part in different ways than what is printed. I invite you, if you have access, perhaps to light a candle as we begin worship this morning to create some sacred space. You'll find a link to hymnary.org that'll take you straight to the hymns that we'll be singing. And I invite you, if you're able to stand and to sing, whether you're by yourself or worshiping with your household, you will not be singing alone. All of us will be together. When we come to the passing of the peace, I invite you to offer the peace of Christ to the people that you might be worshiping with, or to send a text or an email to someone that you'd like to give the peace of Christ to this morning, and just say, "Peace of Christ be with you." If you're following along on Facebook, you might want to share prayer concerns when we come to that time in the service, just remembering that that is a public forum, so you want to make sure there's nothing confidential that you share there. And finally, when we come to the time of offering, there should be a link that will allow you to give and make an offering to the church online. Or there's also an opportunity to text to give, which I like. It's a very easy thing to do, and I believe that phone number is also included in the links that you have in front of you. Our gatherings, Bible studies, meetings are all canceled for the week. We will continue our ministries with Room in the Inn, our recovery groups, and Launchpad. We want to be able to continue to serve those who are most vulnerable in our community during these days. Finally, we should have online, if it's not up already, it will be soon, this guide that we put together for the season of Lent that has in it different spiritual practices that go along with each Sunday's worship service. I hope that you'll make use of that and use this time as a time to deepen your spiritual practice during this season of Lent. We're so glad to be together this morning. God is with us. Let us worship together.
Thank you.
Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns.
Yet our God provides.
Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin.
Yet our God provides.
Let us strive first for God's kingdom and God's righteousness. Let us worship our God who provides. There is more than enough mercy for those who seek God's grace. Therefore, let us confess our sins before God and one another. Let us pray. God of great abundance, we confess that our lives are often driven by the fear of scarcity. We assume that there is never enough, that there will always be a shortage of money, time, patience, or love. We turn away when strangers ask for nourishment, claiming there isn't enough even for ourselves. Forgive us when we doubt your bounty. Forgive us when we ignore the possibilities in what we have been given. Open our eyes to the wonders that surround us. Help us to trust in your provision and lead us to greater generosity. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. You may text or email a friend, share signs of peace with those with whom you're worshiping. Wave at the camera. We'll offer peace to you in whatever way we feel led. The peace of Christ be with you. Now let us join together in the Lenten prayer for illumination. O God, we offer all of our preconceptions about this scripture, all of our safe, familiar interpretations, to the flame of your refining fire. Turn them into ashes, and let new meaning rise like the sun at the dawn of a new day. Amen. If you have a Bible close at hand, our reading is from the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 6, beginning with verse 25. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, Will God not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and God's righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Children to come forward for our children's sermon, and we miss having them here with us this morning, but we still wanted to keep that special time in our service for them. So I want to tell you a little bit about something I did when I was a child to help me with my worries. When I was little, I had a little box that had these tiny little dolls in them. They were called worry dolls, and they were colorful and different shapes, and some were men and some were women, and there were about a dozen of them, and they lived in this beautiful little box. And what I could do with them is I could tell them my worries. I'd whisper them in their ear. They were just about this big, though. I'd whisper my worries in their ear, and then I'd tuck them back into the box, and I could put my worries away and aside, because we all get worried at times, and we all have lots of things we're worried about right now. And when I was little, I could do that, and it was so comforting that I could put my worries aside and let someone else hold them for me in that moment. But you know what, friends? God can do that for us too. God wants to hear from us and wants to know our worries and is big enough and strong enough and loves us enough to hold them for us. So even when we're worried, God will be with us and God can hold those worries for us and will always love us. Let's pray together. God, we thank you that you are big enough to hold our worries, that you love us enough to never leave us alone and to be with us always. Thank you that we can trust you with everything. All this we ask and pray in your holy name. Amen.
Well, I assure you that I recognize the irony of this moment. Here I am tasked with preaching a word from Jesus Christ where Jesus tells us, do not worry, that tomorrow has enough troubles for itself, and so simply focus on today. And you know what? I think it is all well and good that I am sitting here right now preaching this word, but I'm preaching to an empty sanctuary. And that's as it should be, because we want to take care of one another in these times and look out for those that are most vulnerable in our midst. And yet at the same time, what that means is we have to be honest with ourselves that this is a time of worry, and yes, we are worried. We are worried about our health and the health of others. We are worried about our economy and what this slowdown in activity across the globe might mean for people's ability to make the living that they need in these times. As if that weren't enough, those of us that live in the Middle Tennessee area were already worried about many neighbors and friends who were directly impacted by the dangerous storms and tornadoes that came through this area just less than 2 weeks ago. And then if you want to add another worry on top of that, we are United Methodists. We have been worried about our church, our denomination, in these last few years. And we were hoping that maybe our church leaders from across the globe would be able to gather next month and get together and start to think about how we can be a church that loves each and every one of God's children. And now we wonder if those gatherings and those decisions will be postponed or disrupted by this pandemic as well. So it seems that there's worry on top of worry on top of worry. And that doesn't even take into account all of the different worries that you might have as you worship with us from the relative safety and comfort or of home or wherever else it is that you are gathered to be with us in this time. Now, this is a very strange time. And Pastor Maggie looked at me this week and said, "You know what? I think that you might be just the right person to preach this week." And what she meant by that was that I am somebody that identifies as a 6 on the Enneagram. Some of you may not know what the Enneagram is, but we have been offering classes on it in our church in the last few months. We also hosted a workshop with Enneagram expert Suzanne Stabile with over 500 people in here just several weeks ago. But the Enneagram is a personality typing system that has 9 types of personalities, and a person is supposed to identify their core motivation. And for people like me who identify as 6s, well, my core motivation is identified as fear or anxiety. So I'm a person who often in my life, when I am trying to navigate the world and figure out what I need to do in a situation, I have to be careful that I don't allow my natural propensity to worry and have anxiety to win the day as I do those things. So maybe I am a pretty good person to preach on this text in this moment at this time. But you know, I don't think you really have to know anything about the Enneagram, or you don't have to be any particular type of person to have experienced the sensation of anxiety and worry. And I think right now it's safe to say that we all are feeling at least some of that in these days. So we ask ourselves then, what could Jesus mean when Jesus says, "Do not worry"? Do not worry. Well, first and foremost, I think it's important to know that as I looked at different translations of this verse this week, it seemed that those persons that knew Greek better than I do thought that one of the best ways to translate that word worry was actually "don't be anxious." And so anxiety is actually a really good word to keep in mind as we think about this teaching of Jesus. And what is anxiety? Anxiety, the best way I could put it is something that pervades the very essence of your being and gets down into the core of your soul, that is a bother or a worry or a series of what ifs that begin to crowd out everything that might be good or whole or holy in a given moment, or maybe in many given moments. And so I think we can hold on to that word anxiety and say, Jesus is saying, don't be anxious about things. But what do we do with that? Well, I don't think Jesus is saying, you're never going to worry and you're never going to have any kind of anxiety, especially in a moment like this. There are many dangers, toils, and snares always, like the hymn Amazing Grace puts it. And this world is not perfect, and we are not guaranteed a perfect outcome from day to day. Maybe in the long run, we have a promise of eternity and of some kind of rightness in this creation. But we're not promised that on a day-to-day basis. We know things will get messy, and I think Jesus knew that too. Well, what Jesus was also trying to get us to do is remember to focus on what is most important. That we are created by a loving God who cares for us, who cares for others, and who cares for all of creation. And so what does Jesus do? But Jesus goes to creation itself and finds two life forms that we share the earth with to give us a different way of seeing. We might think of it as a different posture to life. And he identifies these two and says, maybe you can learn something from them. And they're not the most likely teachers, but let's see what they have to show us. So Jesus says that we should look to the blossom of the lily. He says, look at the lily and see how it does not toil, nor does it spin, and yet it is clothed in raiments that are far more glorious than anything that King Solomon ever had in all of his riches. But you know, how does the lily get to that point? Well, you know, the lily by its very nature has no choice really but to be. To be what it is created to be, and to live as best as it can in the moment in time in which it is placed in creation. It relies upon the soil in which it is planted to give it nourishment. It relies on the rain that comes from the skies to give it drinks of water. It relies on the beautiful sun to warm it, and it stretches toward the sun. But the lily doesn't really have a choice about that. The lily just does that. The lily just is. It's an invitation to be, just like the lily can be. And it's a really interesting metaphor, too, because if you see what Jesus says about those beautiful grasses and blossoms, he says, they will be cut down tomorrow and thrown into the stove. He says, they will be thrown away. And yet, think about it, they dare to live and to blossom and to bring glory into God's creation. And he says, how much more so are you created to do that? And then he points to the birds of the air, and he says, the birds neither reap nor do they sow, and they don't gather things in their barns. As we talked about this at Bible study on Tuesday morning, it was the very last time I taught before we started canceling things this week. We discussed, well, is Jesus telling us that we should never care about any of the necessities of life? Because that seems a little foolish. And while I admit that there is some measure of foolishness in everything about faith in Jesus Christ, I don't believe that that's quite what Jesus is saying. If we look to the birds do prepare. They make nests for themselves and homes. They lay eggs in those nests. They take care of those eggs. They go and they find food where it is. But the thing about the bird that is somewhat different from us is that the bird has to work with whatever is given in that moment in time and whatever is available for it in the world around it. In fact, if you've ever seen a bird's nest, you may have noticed that nowadays birds don't even just use twigs and branches to make their nests. Sometimes you'll see bits of paper that they get out of a dumpster, or they will find some piece of plastic or something else to incorporate into their homes. So they are always figuring out how to work with what is there. And so I think Jesus gives us an image of how to deal with our bothers through the blossoms and the birds by suggesting two things: that we are called to, in all times, do all that we can to simply be. To be in the moment, to be in the presence of God, to do the things that are in front of us to do. And I think God invites us to look for the resources to do those things in surprising places and in surprising ways without undue burden of worrying about where those resources will come from, but trusting that in the midst of this great creation, that there is enough for all of us, that there is care for all of us, and that we are all in this together. The bird and the blossom show what it is to be radically embedded in God's creation and radically embedded in God's presence. And we are called to learn from their example. Now, I will admit, as somebody whose core motivation, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, is worry and anxiety, that has been something that has been really hard for me to put into practice in my life, to hear this teaching of Jesus, and to own it as something that I can trust. And yet, as I thought about that this week, I also realized that there are times in my life that I have been forced to practice that very way of being by the circumstances of life. One such time was almost 10 years ago now, when my younger daughter was born. Many of you may not know this, but my daughter Miriam, who is 9 years old now, she was born extremely premature. She was an extreme preemie, born 3 months early, and she weighed only 2 pounds at birth. I can only let you imagine what that anxiety and worry was like for me and my wife. In those first days, we could do almost nothing to take care of our daughter. She was in an incubator, and we had to rely on the doctors and nurses that knew way more than we did to tend to her and love on her. And we had to put our faith and trust in God that God would be with us no matter what happened in those days and weeks. And then, miraculously, came the time where we were able to take her home with us. And that was still a month before her due date, a month before she was originally supposed to be born. And she came home with us, a fragile baby at 4 pounds, with some health issues. When you look at the pictures, she almost looked sick at times because she was still struggling to get into this world. And if our anxieties and worries were already in place while we were in the hospital, imagine what that was like. The what ifs started to really bubble up. What if we aren't cut out to be parents of a baby like this? What if we can't make it through this time emotionally? What if her body does not hold up to being outside of the hospital? And so the only thing we could do was start to take things day by day. We did the best we could to follow the instructions of our doctors. In this moment right now that we're experiencing of social distancing and self-quarantine, well, we had that in our lives at that time. We had to keep Miriam away from people that might get her sick. And so my wife usually didn't come to church. I usually went alone to church. Our patterns were disrupted in our daily living. We had to wake her up every 4 hours to feed her for a whole year on the clock, just so she would get enough nutrition and would be able to thrive. It was a scary time. And the only thing we could do was rely that God was with us, to believe that God was with us in that moment, and that we could do what we could do that was in front of us day by day. You know, as anxious and as worried as those times were, though, I look back on them now and I realize they were some of the most precious times in our life as a family. I don't know that we've ever relied on God as much as we did in those times. I know we haven't relied as much on the love of family and friends and church members as much as we did in those moments. I know that we spent more time together, my wife and I did, than we had in our entire relationship together up to that point. We were together all the time. Probably the most time we have spent together in a year in the 20 plus years that I've known her. We also spent time in the presence of our 2-year-old daughter, who was already with us, and Emerson was a joy at that time in our lives in the midst of that scary time. And all three of us gathered around Miriam as we worked to help her survive and become a vibrant part of our family. And like I said, now my daughter is a beautiful and vibrant 9-year-old. and coming through that time day by day and relying on what was in front of us and what was given to us and doing just what was ours to do each day got us through. So maybe this time of self-isolation and this time where we may feel more apart from one another is an invitation to a different kind of being, a being that is a bit more like the blossoms and the birds. Maybe this can be a time to be amongst those who are most dear to you. This can be a time to think about what is most important in life and to cherish those things. And this can be a time to simply be in the presence of God in a way that maybe our hurried lives often don't let us be. Perhaps it's no coincidence that this week our spiritual prayer practice was going to be centering prayer. Each week throughout Lent, and we've already had several Sundays in Lent, and we will have some more in the next few weeks, we have suggested a spiritual practice that might help draw people closer to God. And this week, our practice is centering prayer. And I am going to invite you into a time of centering prayer this morning, wherever you are. There is no right or wrong way to do centering prayer, but here's how it basically works. You are going to choose one word, a prayer or intention that you want to hold in your heart and in your mind at this moment. That word may be something like joy or peace or comfort. I can't tell you what the word is. Only you and God know what word will focus for you right now. But allow it to center your heart and your mind and open space for God's presence to dwell with you and amongst you at this time. So what I'm going to invite you to do now is think about what that word might be that you're going to hold on to. And then I want you to get real comfortable wherever you are. I want you to get in a nice seated position. Ground yourself with your feet on the ground. Let this creation in which we live hold you. Let it cradle you at this time. And I want you to breathe in and breathe out. And I want you to begin to focus on that word. If your mind begins to wander, your monkey mind, as one of my friends, Sally Honor, who leads our Tazay services here, likes to call it, if your mind gets distracted, that's okay. That's a part of our natural bent toward worrying. But simply return to your focus word and let it hold you. And let it hold space for God to take up residence in your heart this morning. I'm going to have a seat, and we're going to sit in silence for a few minutes. Continue to center on that word. Notice God's deep presence with you at this time. And then I will close our time of centering prayer with a brief word of spoken prayer. God who creates the heavens and the earth and us along with it and the blossoms and the birds. We know you are with us. Tend to our worrying hearts and minds. Help us sense your deep, abiding presence and love. Help us to be in these days ahead. Help us to love. And help us to do what it is that is in front of us to do. Nothing more and nothing less. It is in the name of the triune God, God, our Creator and Parent, Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, our Sustainer, that I pray. Amen.
We have already had a wonderful moment of centering prayer, but we come now to the time in our service where we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. If you have prayer concerns you would like to share now, you could. There's a place on our website where you can do that, or you could post them on the Facebook Live page if they're not confidential, if you so wish. We want to celebrate with the Weiss family this morning. The rose on our communion table there celebrates the birth of Genevieve Claire Weiss, who was born to Vivian and Michael Weiss on March 7th. She is welcomed also by her siblings Maggie and Peter. We also want to lift up those in our community who were affected by the tornadoes that came through just less than 2 weeks ago, who are continuing to recover and rebuild. And we want to remember those who are vulnerable in these days, both to illness and economically, and keep them in our prayers as well. We want to pray for those who are already sick and who are recovering. And we especially want to pray for the healthcare providers who are working so tirelessly to take care of them. This morning, because we have already had centering prayer, we are just going to move into the prayer that Jesus gave us to use whenever we need to pray. So I will lead us in our salutation, and then we will pray together the Lord's Prayer. The Lord be with you. Let us pray together as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now is the time in our service where we would usually collect our offering, which we will not be able to do in person today, but now is a great time for you to go online and give, or text to give, or write a check to send in to the church. We want to remind you to give as we have been given so wonderfully by God, and so that we can continue the ministries of our church, serving those who are in need.
And so now, wherever in the world you find yourself at this moment, I invite you to be present with God, to be present with those whom you love, to be present to the things that need tending to. And I pray that God's Spirit is with each and every one of you from this day until we see you again. Amen.